Thanks, Greg. Yes, we are backstage with Christiane Matchalaru. It's great to have you back in Philadelphia, and this is a homecoming for you.
It is. I always love coming back to Philadelphia, not just because my family is here, but because with this orchestra, I have about 8 years worth of memories of having conducted many concerts. In fact, this weekend's concerts are marking performances number 106 and 107 in the past 8 years. So it's very special for me always to come back.
And this program is such a cool program with such beautiful music, starting off with the Moby Dick Orchestral Suite, which you arranged.
I did. This is an interesting story because I was assistant conductor when the premiere of the opera happened in Dallas. And Jake Hagee is an outstanding composer of mainly operatic music and vocal music in general. But when I heard this piece, I was so moved by the colors and the harmonic language and the story as well, the dramatic feel for the story, that I asked him immediately. I said, Jake, would you please make an orchestral suite? I will conduct it. I will promote it. I will do anything you want me to do. And he said, oh, well, that's a great idea. Let me think about it. And so about 6 years passed. And then I just called him up and I said, Jake, if you're not making a suite, can I do it? And he said, oh my God, I would love it if you did it. So I did. And then when I premiered it last year, Jake came and listened to it, and we made a few little adjustments here and there. But he tells me he was very happy. So I am very happy because the music speaks to me so much. So,
well, you have this epic novel and then a 3-hour opera and a 20-minute orchestral suite. What was your goal in putting this together?
My goal was to be able to represent the purely musical language that Jake uses to be able to tell this story. Jake's music is motivic, is very motivic, but there are these beautiful moments of musical painting, if I call it this way, or this tapestry that is just so luscious and full of drama. I don't think that the orchestral suite from the opera should tell the story of the opera. I don't think that's necessary. I think it should be a journey through music that informs one of the motifs that are used in the opera. And 100 years ago, it was very customary that composers who would write an opera would immediately extract a suite and premiere that before the opera, so that people would be familiar with the musical language and then are able to hear the opera and the way that the musical language is developed. And that's exactly the way that I thought of it.
Well, it sounded so dramatic, and you could hear the swells of the sea, and then there were some very turbulent times and also some very peaceful, calm times. Were you thinking about the story and the characters as you arranged it and also as you worked on it with the orchestra?
The interesting challenge for me was having to orchestrate the vocal lines. So I picked some very interesting instruments to do this. In fact, there's a whole aria that the double bass section plays that substitutes for the bass line. And there's an aria that the piccolo plays in a much higher register than what Jake wrote. You know, so, and everything in between. There's a chorus section that I orchestrated between 3 bassoons and 3 trombones and the trumpets in order to portray, you know, 2 musical lines. But I felt the combination of these instruments in a Webern-esque way, where each one contributes 1 note, would represent this moment in the opera very, very well. So yes, I was inspired by the character that each musical line had, by the mere fact of knowing who is singing that line. And I tried to portray it that way orchestrally in picking which instrument played that vocal line.
It sounds as if you had a lot of fun with this. Have you done this before?
I do compose in my spare time as much as I can, and I did have a lot of fun with it because it's very different coming to a piece of music where there is not one note in the piece that I put myself. I just played around with them. But I took every note that Jake wrote and just put them in a different order and give them to different people, but I did not contribute any harmonic or rhythmical change, none of that. So it was interesting because it's like taking apart a puzzle and then trying to put it back together, but in a slightly different way.
And we're about to hear Copland's Appalachian Spring, but not the way we have heard it for decades.
Exactly. This is a version of the Appalachian Spring that it's perhaps the closest and truest to the original version of the piece. It's a version that Eugene Ormandy begged Aaron Copland to create. And it's actually the original complete ballet version, except in an orchestrated format for the entire orchestra. The original ballet, of course, was done for 13 instruments only. And then when Aaron Copland extracted the suite from the ballet, he made it for the large orchestra, but never completed the ballet for the whole large orchestra. And we thought it would be an interesting experiment for the audience to be able to hear the entire ballet, but with the full orchestra. And this was a project that Aaron Copland worked on in the later part of his life, but never completed himself.
So when did it all come together?
It all came together, I would say, a little less than 10 years ago. The version that we're doing after the intermission is literally exactly what Copland wrote for the original ballet.
So how is it different from what audiences may have heard in the orchestral suite?
Well, to start with, it's a good 8 to 10 minutes more music. And there are many things that no one has ever heard before. So things that don't refer to the melodic motifs that we have associated with Appalachian Spring. So there will be brand new music that no one knows. What I love, actually, is I don't really want to give away the surprise, but when the tune at the end, when the Simple Gifts melody comes at the end, he changes the order of the variations that we are used to in the suite. And what it is fascinating is that in the suite, you basically start very slow and then easily get faster and faster and work your way up to the finale. Well, in the original ballet, the variations are very different and they're in different orders, which informs the different tonalities much better. So it's a very interesting kind of journey where it looks like you recognize everything because you recognize the melody, but the harmonic language underneath it is changed and the speed is different and all. So it's quite fun to be able to explore it this way and to get into it with a renewed interest.
So as you go through the piece and work through it with the orchestra, what's in your mind?
It's just interesting because there are so many corners that go in a different direction. It's like arriving at an intersection and then you have to turn left while your entire life you've turned right. And I think the orchestra feels the same way because many, many points, just when you expect to go where you usually do in the suite, which is so well known by the orchestra and by conductors, but then you have to actually make a detour and go in a different direction and then arrive there, but through a different transformation. So it's to me, it's great fun being able to explore this and being able to put the concert in context where...
Can you just start? It's great fun.
For me, it's great fun to be able to explore this piece and also the entire concert being in context where we start with a piece that it's a suite of a larger work. And then we end with a piece where we know the suite itself, but now we're performing the entire large work.
Wow. We look forward to the second half. Another reason to be excited about this collaboration. Well, yeah. Christy, it's so great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.